And let us begin as we begin all prayer, by reminding ourselves that we are in the holy presence of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, I pray that you unlock my heart, that I might be fully alive to my true identity in you. Give me clear revelation to see myself the way you see me. Help me to stand in your truth, to relish in your love, and to open my heart with faith, hope, and love. Amen. Before we begin, I want to acknowledge everyone who has shared their story, who have shared their prayers, shared their thoughts throughout this retreat. There have been so many messages, and I have read them all, and I have prayed with them all. Know that I have been holding each of you in my prayers, even if I have not been able to respond to every single one. Please continue to share your stories and prayers, and I hold them sacredly and carry each of them with me in prayer. And so with that, here we are, retreat family. Here we are. We are in the midst of Holy Week. We are nearing the crucifix, and when we near the crucifix, we are near the resurrection. And in our retreat, we have been moving through our sins. We have explored the shadow sides of us. And in looking at those shadows, we might have come to see a little more clearly how much God loves us. Which is to say, the worst things I have done, the most terrible of terribles, even still, God loves me. Has there been a chance for you to grasp that, the immensity of God's love? What a state of confusion that is, right? If we think of the most harmful thing that someone has done to us, whatever that might be, are we able to love them despite the pain, trauma, and damage? I sure can't. I cannot imagine loving that unconditionally and that intensely, that I would be able to turn around and give my love in return to someone that hurt me. That is crazy. And yet, retreat family, God does that for each of us. For every single one of us, God loves us regardless of who we are, what we do, and even what we don't do. God loves us. I can honestly say, I am incapable of understanding that kind of love. I cannot fully explore that kind of love. I would not even know how to begin doing that, understanding how to love despite what someone has done to me. But the thing is, we don't have to fully understand. All we have to do is look around us and perhaps what surrounds us, and that we are able to see God's love for us, despite who we are and who we are not. I'm going to tell you a story. There was a time in my life when I was so broke, I couldn't pay my electric bill. And one day, after coming home from an awesome haul of groceries, my electricity gets shut off. My gas also gets shut off. And it's winter, and I am angry because all this new food will go bad. But I was resourceful. I connected a bunch of extension cords, ran them from the laundry room in my apartment complex, which was right next door to me, into my apartment, and connected a space heater, my TV, and a hot plate. And I survived the winter like this. Dangerous? Absolutely. Did I get caught? No. Was it okay that I did this? I have no idea, but this is what I can say. All these gifts, resourcefulness, having an apartment, having the money to at least pay rent, having a job, having a car, having the extension cords and the space heater and the hot plate and so much more, all of it, blessings, graces, gifts God gave me. Even though I needed a better paying job, even though I wish I didn't have student loans or a high car payment or credit card bills, And I say this knowing I have done some sinful sinning. I have not been perfect. I have done some things that if they were done to me, I would not want to love me in return. But God did. God loved me. And God continues to love me. God's ongoing love, in spite of our sins, invites us to some healthy and to some good confusion to help us reflect. And what do we reflect on? We reflect on these questions, the only questions we can even ask when we recognize God's amazing love for us. What am I doing for Christ? What have I done for Christ? What ought I do for Christ? These questions are what St. Ignatius asks in the first week of the spiritual exercises. What am I doing for Christ? What have I done for Christ? What ought I do for Christ? When we hold God's love in one hand and these questions in another, we might discover a call to follow Christ, a call to discipleship. And in that discipleship, we become beacons for others to also discover Christ. What am I doing for Christ? What have I done for Christ? What ought I do for Christ? These questions are the core of our prayer during these holy days. As we pray with Christ's passion, as we participate in the liturgy of these holy days, let us hold these questions in the background so that we can come to recognize more deeply God's love for us and response, and our response to that love. And if the liturgy of these holy days is something you do not practice or are unable to attend, then lean in on the season of these days leading up to Easter and allow Christ's passion to ignite in you an understanding of God's love for you. And in turn, your return of love to God. For our meditation, we will take directly from St. Ignatius using a translation from Jesuit Father George Gans. This meditation is in three parts. So take these parts and pray them slowly. And don't feel you need to do them in one sitting. I would suggest pray one part each day of the Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil on Saturday. The first part. Imagine Christ our Lord suspended on the cross before you and converse with him in a colloquy. How is it that he, although he is the Creator, has come to make himself a human being? How is it that he has passed from eternal life to death here in time, and to die in this way for my sins? Second part. In a similar way, reflect on yourself and ask, what am I doing for Christ? What have I done for Christ? What ought I do for Christ? And the third part. In this way too, gazing on him in so pitiful a state as he hangs on the cross, speak to whatever comes to your mind. Remember, a colloquy is a conversation, a kind of conversation one would speak to a dear friend. And just like when we have a conversation with a dear friend, we also listen to what is being said to us. And at the end of each prayer part, say the Our Father. Allow the Our Father to not be a formality, but a way of giving a conscious prayer to the community that loves us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As always, if you feel moved, listen to How Deep the Father's Love for Us, sung by Anna Golden, or Lord, I Need You by Matt Maher, or A Safe Place to Land by Sarah Bareilles, featuring John Legend. And as always, all reflection materials can be found in a downloadable PDF below. And this week there is a bonus song, one of my favorites, so check out the reflection materials for that song. With that, let us pray. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.